Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Here's another episode of The Life of Riley. Today we listen to episode number 52, which aired on January 7th, 1945. It is entitled Silver Gloves Boxing.
Here he is, folks! During the day, he's William Bendix, the movie star, but every Sunday night for the last 52 weeks, he's been the star of The Life of Riley. Now, we're going to hear a few words from this one-year-old radio star. Say something, Bill.
Da-da. Goo-goo, da-da.
The American Meat Institute presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Meat people of America, providing a great food for a great nation. 5 million farmers and ranchers raising fine meat animals. 600,000 men and women in more than 3,500 meat packing plants. 400,000 meat retailers. All doing their level best to fill your daily needs. And now, on behalf of all these, the American Meat Institute brings you The Life of Riley. Like most fathers, Chester A. Riley, California war worker, is full of pride in his son, Junior, and never seems to learn that pride goeth before a fall. Right now, Riley's at it again. He wants Junior to enter the Silver Gloves Amateur Contest and is out in the backyard trying to sell Junior the idea. Listen.
But, Papa, I don't think I box good enough to be in the Silver Gloves Contest.
Oh, don't be so modest, Junior. Let me be the one who's modest. With the benefit of my training, you can't possibly lose. And don't forget, you'll be wearing the colors of the BPLA.
The BPLA, Pop?
Well, sure, my club, the Brooklyn Patriots of Los Angeles. All the social and athletic clubs are entering some kids. It's for charity. And the BPLA is counting on you.
Yeah, and the referee will be counting over me.
No, he won't, Junior. I happen to know the referee, Muggsy Donovan, personal. And, Junior, he can't count up to 10. Besides, I'm your manager, your trainer, your sparring partner, and your father. And all four of us say you can't lose.
But, Pop...
And another thing, Junior... Boxers are very popular, especially with girls of the opposite sex.
They are, Pop?
Girls like men who can protect them. A man who can fight as a knight in shining armor. A regular Sir Gallagher or Lancelot.
Girls like boxers, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Pop, I'm entering the bout.
Attaboy. Now, come on, we'll start your training right away. First, I'm going to show you a tricky uppercut. I call it my Sunday punch.
Why, Pop?
Well, when I hit a fellow with this punch, he always lands on his weekend.
Okay, Pop, go ahead and show me.
Now, watch me. First, I feint with my left, eh? Then with my right, I bring up a haymaker like this. Where are you, Junior?
Over here, behind you.
Oh.
Listen, Pop, can't the other fella hit you when your legs are all tangled up like that?
Sure, I'm wide open for a right hook, but if he tries it, I'll block it with my jaw. Now, you try it on me. Look, I'll get down on my knees so I'm more your size. Go ahead.
Gosh, I don't want to hurt you.
I just figured that I'm your sparring partner as well as your trainer. Forget I'm your father. Don't worry, I'll duck. Come on, let me have the old 1-2. Come on.
Well, okay. 1-2.
Boom!
Gosh, Pop, it worked!
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, your trainer was so busy watching your style that your sparring partner forgot to duck. And I think your father is getting a black eye.
Thank you.
Come on, Peg, let's finish up the dishes fast.
Huh? Honest, Riley, I don't understand what's going on in that mind of yours.
Now, Dumplin', don't worry about my mind. It's very simple.
First you invite Junior to hit you in the eye, and then as a reward, you do these dishes for him.
Well, I don't want Junior to do no more dishes for a while. Dishwater's liable to soften up his hands.
Hasn't done much for me. Well, I'm telling you for the last time, I'm not going to let my boy grow up to be a prize fighter with those broccoli ears.
Not broccoli, cauliflower. And don't worry, Junior can take care of himself. He's got my fighting blood in his veins.
Your fighting blood. Look at that black eye he gave you.
Well, I let him hit me to give him confidence. I think the swelling's going down a little, though. When I close my good eye, I can very dimly see the icebox there.
That's the gas meter you're looking at. Oh, Riley, don't you think it's dangerous to let Junior fight?
Junior's my boy also. Remember, a father's got mother love, too. Why, with me training Junior, nobody's going to lay a glove on him. It's like I was saying to Jim Gillis.
So that's it. You and that Jim Gillis have been boasting to each other again.
Now, Peg, listen.
And you said that Junior was a better fighter than Gillis's boy, Egbert.
This time you got me all wrong. It was Gillis that said Egbert was a better fighter than Junior.
Oh, the idea. Two grown men getting two little boys to fight each other.
Well, in the first place, it ain't fighting, it's boxing.
What's the difference?
Well, boxing's more gentlemanly. When you knock the guy's teeth out, you wear gloves.
In the second place,
Egbert don't figure in this at all anyway, because only Junior is representing the BPLA. Boy, is Gillis going to be jealous when he hears about it.
Pop, I finished my homework. Let's go and enter me in the box.
Okay, Sonny. Peg, we're going down to see the boxing promoter, Rosin Face Moore. Rosin Face is managing the tournament.
Oh, I give up. Now, Riley, look, promise me one thing.
Yes.
Arrange it so that the boy who fights Junior won't hit him.
Oh, sure. Come on, champ.
All right, next entry.
Mr. Moore, I want to sign up for the schoolboy division of the Silver Gloves.
Schoolboy?
Yeah.
I'm afraid you're a little late. You should have been here 25 years ago.
Oh, I ain't the schoolboy. I'm entering my son here, Battling Kid Riley. He's representing the BPLA.
No, you're too late, Riley. We already have one entry from that club.
Oh, gee, Pop, how can that be?
Well, it can't.
Well, it is. Mr. Gillis entered his son Egbert for the BPLA 5 minutes ago.
Why, the double-crosser, the traitor. That kid Egbert Gillis can't represent the BPLA. He's a cream puff.
Just a minute, Riley. I heard that crack, and I don't like it.
Relax, Gillis. That Egbert of yours couldn't fight his way through a sheet of Kleenex.
He could so, but who can get Kleenex today?
Look at this black eye my junior gave me. I don't see your boy giving you no black eye.
Well, of course not. I brung him up better. He only fights kids his own size.
Is that so? Well, he better not pick on my junior. My boy can lick your boy with one of my hands tied behind your back.
Why, you won't...
Now, wait a minute.
Just a minute, man. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let down the rules and let both boys represent your club against each other. Then the winner will be the champion of the BPLA.
Hello? Oh, hello, Pointy. Well, sure, I think Junior will win. What? Oh, okay, Pointy. Thanks for tipping me off. So long. Peg, guess what?
Guess what?
I just heard that Jim Gillis is having his kid trained by Slug Malloy, ex-welterweight champion of the Santa Monica Pier.
Professional? Oh, is that fair?
What a snaky thing to do. What an underhanded trick. Only a shift and conniving weasel would do a thing like that. Why didn't I think of it?
Riley... I'm worried about this fight.
Oh, well, don't worry, Dumplin'. I promise you that Junior won't get hurt. Why, it's such a sure thing I've been laying 3-1 that Junior will win.
3-1?
Yes.
Where are you going to get the money to cover all those bets?
Well, who needs money? I bet Newly Dirk and 3 mows of his lawn to 1 trim of our hedge. All I hope is Junior watches his training. Well, what do you have for lunch?
Don't see. 2 sandwiches and a glass of milk and a chocolate eclair.
A chocolate eclair? Again with the custard. If you must feed them eclairs, please see that they're filled with meat. Oh, there's Junior now. Is that you, Champ?
Yeah, that's me.
Well, Peg, start dishing out that grub. And, Champ, sit down at that table and start packing it away. Go ahead, kid.
I'm not hungry.
Well, Junior, you got to build up your weight or Egbert's liable to beat you.
No, he won't.
That's the way I like to hear you talk.
Because I'm not going to fight Egbert.
Junior, I didn't quite understand you. I can't hear with my mouth full.
I'm not going to fight Egbert.
Well, I think he's being sensible. I'm glad that's settled.
Well, it ain't settled. What do you mean you won't fight Egbert? Why won't you?
Well, I can't tell you why, Pop. Oh, please don't ask me.
Junior, there's only one type of a boy who runs away from a fight.
I can't help it. I don't want to fight. I just want to be left alone.
Junior, come back here. Peg, I know why he's running out. He's scared. He must have heard how Egbert was being trained by a professional. My own son, a coward.
Oh, come now. How do you know?
I just got a feeling. You know me. I'm psychopathic.
Well, Riley seems to have lost the first round in his fight to make Junior a silver glove champ. Round 2 follows in just a moment. But in the meantime, this is Ken Niles speaking for me. Let me tell you what Mrs. Niles did for me at dinner last night, Saturday night. I sat down hungry. Yes, even radio announcers get that way. Hungry as a bear. Well, in she comes with a deep-covered dish, hot as a firecracker. First, I get a friendly fragrance, and then I take off the lid. Ah, inside it's brown and warm, chunks of good lean beef in a steaming liquid. Fluffy islands of dumplings, carrots, onions, potatoes. I lift off a dumpling, and then I take the biggest ladle we have in the house, scoop, fill, lift, and serve. In that homey mixture on my plate are meat, vegetables, dumplings, and all. The name of that mealtime masterpiece is beef stew. Bubbling, bonny beef stew. And Mrs. Niles said, honey, it took only about a pound of stew meat to build that stew. It only cost me 2 red points out of the 100 the two of us have this month. Well, ladies, that all goes to show there are still a lot of ways to keep meat on the table, even in these days of tighter rationing. Look for the low-point meats in your market, short ribs, for instance, or sausage. Just 1 to 3 points per pound. Most of the variety meats, such as kidney and hearts and pork and lamb liver, are still point-free. Remember, when you keep meat on the menu, you keep getting those highest quality essential proteins. For meat is a yardstick of protein foods because meat measures up to every protein need. And now back to the life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. It's round 2 of Riley's struggle to persuade his son to meet young Egbert Gillis in the Silver Gloves boxing tournament tonight. Junior's last-minute refusal to fight left Riley down, but not quite out.
I guess I should never have depended on Junior. I guess I'm just a big dope. Well, you might have the courtesy to deny it.
Why should I? You got yourself into this. Now take the consequences.
Yeah. I can just see myself paying off the bet I made with Ike Shanahan, the barber.
What? You made a bet with the barber, too?
Yeah. If Junior wins, Ike's got to give me a 6-month supply of haircuts. 3 haircuts. If Junior loses, I got to cut my own hair and stand in the window of Ike's barber shop with a sign around my neck which says, "Let Ike cut your hair or someday you look like this."
Next time, don't bet.
Junior can't treat me this way, even if I am his father. I'm going to have another talk with him. Junior, come in here. Peg, where are you going?
I've got the dishes to do.
All the ships are deserting the sinking rat.
What do you want, Pop?
Junior, you've been a great disappointment to me, you know that?
I know.
And you still won't tell me why you won't fight Egbert tonight?
I can't tell you, Pop.
Well, you don't have to, because I know why.
You do?
Sure. You're just afraid to spoil your good looks. But you shouldn't be, Junior. I'm the one who should be afraid, because after all, you got them from me.
Honest, Papa, I ain't afraid of spoiling my looks.
But, Junior, how can you run away from a fight? You were born in Brooklyn, Junior.
I'm sorry I got you in this jam.
I don't care about myself. I don't even care about Gillis and the boys ribbing me, but what I can't take is the thought that my own son is a...
I'm not a coward, Pop. Honest, I ain't. It's something else.
Yes, Junior?
It's on account of Marilyn Morris, my girl. She said if I went in that ring, she'd never speak to me again.
Is that all?
Well, don't laugh, Pop. You don't know what it means to be in love.
You better not let your mother hear that. I know plenty about love, and it's just like General Sherman said, love is war. Listen, Junior, suppose Marilyn said she'd let you fight.
Boy, if she only would, Pop, I'd get in that ring and tear Egbert to pieces. He's always trying to get Marilyn away from me.
Junior, get your trunks and bathrobe together and be ready to leave for the arena on a minute's notice.
Sit down, Mr. Riley, won't you?
Oh, thanks, Marilyn. Now, you sit down, too, huh?
Now, what did you want to see me about, Mr. Riley?
Well...
Well?
Well? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Same to you, too. Well, Marilyn, I believe in coming right to the point. I'm here on a sort of a peace mission. You gotta let Junior fight tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't approve of fighting.
But, Marilyn, fighting builds a boy up. It makes a He-Man out of him. And girls like He-Men. Look at Van Johnson. Look at Frank Sinatra. Oh, no, look back at Van Johnson.
Well, maybe that's so, but I just don't want Junior's ears to look like Brussels sprouts.
Cauliflower.
Mr. Riley, you may as well know now as later. I'm planning to make Junior my husband.
You are, huh? Well, in that case, I'll have to double his 50-cent allowance.
Oh, we won't get married for a little while.
Oh.
We're thinking of June 9th, 1956.
Well, if you're going to marry him, you should let him box, because boxing prepares a man for married life. I mean, if Junior learns now how to take it on the chin when he's married and older, he can take it on both of his chins. So, what do you say? Let Junior fight, huh?
Oh, Junior's perfectly free to do what he wants. All I said was if he fights, I'll never speak to him again.
You call that freedom? Marilyn, are you sure you were never married before?
Why, Mr. Riley.
Oh, I was only kidding. Listen, Marilyn. Marilyn, if you don't let Junior fight tonight and he loses by default, Junior won't have no self-respect. And when a woman makes a man lose his self-respect, he can never forgive her.
Oh, I never looked at it like that. I wouldn't want Junior to... Mr. Riley, I've changed my mind.
Oh, that's great.
It's my duty to see that Junior wins.
Oh, don't worry. I think he'll win.
I know he'll win.
Oh, you're a swell kid, Marilyn. And it's okay for you to marry Junior. I'm hereby giving you his hand. The one with the paycheck in it. Oh, Mr. Moore, how's a big promoter, huh?
Fine, Riley, fine. We're going to have a capacity crowd tonight.
Yep.
A lot of people want to see your boy mix it with young Gillis.
Oh, sure. All my pals are out there, too, and Battling Kid Riley is all set.
Where's Moore?
Right here, Mr. Gillis. What's wrong?
Where's Egg Bite? Have you seen my Egg Bite? Where is he?
Don't you know?
No. The last I know, he was going over to see some little kid, Marilyn Morris. I just called her. She said he never showed up. The kid is missing.
Huh? He's smart.
Now, listen, Gillis. You're putting me in a fine spot. There's a big crowd upstairs waiting to see the Riley Gillis bout. If we don't give him one, we got to turn back the money. The charity loses, and I look like a heel.
Well, my junior's here. He ain't afraid.
My egg bite ain't afraid. He's just missing.
I wish I could find a substitute fight.
I wouldn't be surprised if Eggbite was kidnapped.
Why would anybody kidnap Eggbite?
Somewhere I gotta find another
fight. I know why. And I think I know who done it.
Gillis, who do you think you're looking at?
Who do you think I'm looking at?
I asked you first.
Somewhere I gotta find another... Wait a minute, I got one right under my nose.
You want to make something out of this, Gillis?
I do if you do.
Okay, I dare you to knock this chip off my shoulder.
There ain't no chip on your shoulder.
Well, I dare you to put one on.
Now, wait a minute, gentlemen. Wait a minute. Never fight for nothing. Now, there's a big crowd upstairs waiting to see the Gillis Riley bout. Well, they're going to see it.
But the kids can't fight. His kid ain't here.
Well, your name's Riley, ain't it? And his name is Gillis, ain't it? I'm putting you two in the ring. Gillis versus Riley, just as advertised.
Now, wait a minute.
Lie quiet on this table, Pop, so I can rub you down. You ain't nervous, are you, Pop?
Who, me? Oh, if you notice me shaking, I'm just loosening up my muscles. Why don't we get going?
Pop, don't forget your old Sunday punch.
Yeah, but this here is only Saturday.
Well, what's worrying you, Pop?
Huh? Oh, nothing. I'm only thinking about poor old Gillis. Him and me have been pals for years. Now I gotta go upstairs and punch them all over the ring. I hope.
Okay, Riley, let's go.
Now?
Yeah, that crowd won't wait much longer. Come on, let's get into the ring.
Okay, I'm ready.
Well, don't be so nervous.
I ain't nervous. Wait, where's my gloves?
They're tied to your hands.
Where's my hands? Never mind, I won't need them. Let's go.
Marilyn, well, come in, dear.
Thank you, Mrs. Riley. May I hear the fights on your radio? They won't let me listen at home.
Why, yes. Come into the living room. But I thought you didn't like boxing, Marilyn.
I don't, but I just want to hear them announce the junior wins by default.
Well, how do you know he'll win by default?
You'll see.
Well, I'll tune the radio in.
And now, folks, it's time for the main bout. Gillis versus Riley. This is the fight we've been waiting for, folks.
They'll have a long wait.
Oh, listen. Something's happened.
And now the two contestants are climbing into the ring. Here's Riley, and here's Gillis.
I don't understand it. Egbert can't be there.
Official weights of the two contestants. Gillis, 180 pounds.
What?
And Riley weighs in at 195.
100? What's happened to Junior?
Getting a big cheer, folks. After all, they stepped in at the last moment to take the place of their son, Junior Riley and Egbert Gillis.
Oh, Marilyn, it's not Junior and Egbert. It's my husband and Mr. Gillis.
The men are fighting each other. I knew it couldn't be Egbert because I locked him in our cellar.
You did what?
So Junior could win by default.
Well, there's the gong. The fight is on. Now, if they'll only come out of their corner. Off their stools. They rush each other and... Oh, they miss each other and land on the ropes. This is the battle of the century. These bums couldn't hit each other in 100 years.
Oh, gee, this is dreadful.
Now the referee pulls them back in the center. Now they spar. Go, Riley, let's go with a haymaker and wham! The referee is down. The referee is up again. Now he's down again. It was Gillis got him that time. Now both fighters are picking up the referee. Oh, Gillis trips Riley. They drop the referee. Riley slugs Gillis. Gillis slugs Riley. The referee is up. No, he's down. Now they're all down. I can't see what's going on. Well, that's the end of round one, folks, and what a fight. I wish you could be here. This is for charity, folks. They say charity begins at home.
And that's where Riley and Gillis wish they were.
And that's where they ought to be, those two.
And remember, folks, these prize fights come to you through the courtesy of Digger O'Dell, the friendly undertaker, whose motto is... When you think of boxing, think of me. Round two. The men come out. No, wait. They're not coming out. That last round seems to have winded them. Well, this will be a no decision bout unless... Yes! Yes, Riley is coming out. Punchy, but game. Now Gillis is up, too. Oh, what a fight. They stagger to the center. No! Gillis is down. But Riley never touched him. He must have fainted. Riley is counting over Gillis. I forgot to say the referee didn't come out for this round. Three. Four.
My, I thought prize fights lasted longer than this.
I think they're supposed to, but not with those two in there.
Seven. Eight. Nine. 10. It's all over, folks. Riley is holding up Riley's hand. The winner, Chester Riley. Come over here to the microphone, Riley. Say a few words to the radio audience. What's the matter, Riley? You too winded to talk?
Oh, I got plenty of wind. Only it goes in and out of my mouth too fast. It was a great fight, folks, and the best man won. I feel fine. Gillis never laid a glove on me, but if Jake of Jake's Meat Market is in the house, I want to order two steaks, one for each eye.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment. Well, this is about the time of year when most folks get hungry for a good sausage breakfast. Not just on Sunday, but now and then throughout the week. Well, as long as pork sausage takes only 2 or 3 points a pound, I say let's have it. And if you want to stretch the sausage out a little, you can make mine with cottage fried potatoes on the side and some good cream gravy. Or give me my breakfast sausage pieced out with scrambled eggs or crisp fried mush. Or some nice red apple slices, browned in the drippings. But give me sausage. Mm-hmm. And while I'm talking about it, I'll add that the tasty lean in that sausage has the right kind of proteins, the kind that everyone, old or young, needs to build and rebuild tissues. All meat has these proteins of highest quality. Meat is a yardstick of protein foods because meat measures up to every protein need. All these nutritional statements made about meat are accepted by the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association.
Folks, this is William Bendix getting personal for just a moment. Tonight is something of an occasion for all of us who are part of the life of Riley. This is our 52nd program, and even with Riley's arithmetic, that makes us 1 year old. Thank you. For a year now, I've wanted to pay public tribute to the fine actors who comprise our regular cast. First, Riley's wife, Dumplin', played by a very, very pretty gal, Paula Winslow.
Oh, Bill Bendix.
When television comes, her blush will be a sensation. Riley's son, Junior, is Conrad Binion, and Jim Gillis is John Brown. Not heard in tonight's story are Riley's daughter, Babs, who is Sharon Douglas, Waldo Binney, played by Dink Trout, Digger O'Dell, the Merry Undertaker, played also by John Brown. And, of course, our announcer, Ken Meat is a Yardstick of Protein Foods, Niles. For all of us, it's been a pleasant privilege to meet you at your radio each Sunday. And if we've succeeded in giving you a smile or two, well, that's the nicest birthday present we could possibly have. Good night, and see you next week.
The
The Life of Riley, presented by the American Meat Institute, next week at this same time. William Bendix plays Riley by arrangement with Hal Roach. The Life of Riley is written by Ashmead Scott, Alan Lipscott, and Reuben Shipp. It is directed by Don Bernard, with music by Lou Cosmo. Our engineer is Thor LaCroix. This is Ken Niles saying, see you next week.
This is the Blue Network.
7:30 at KECA, Los Angeles.
Today we celebrated a milestone with Riley. 52 episodes, their one-year anniversary. It's interesting that this show did a straight 52 weeks in a row. Many shows would take a break during the summer. In fact, with modern television, we're lucky to get 20 shows in a season. Some on Netflix do only 10 shows, and that's their season. But during its first year, The Life of Riley was on the air non-stop. Please join us next Friday for another episode of The Life of Riley, and come back on Monday to hear My Favorite Husband. Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. So until Monday, remember the words of Herb Kahn, who said, "I have a memory like an elephant. I remember every elephant I've ever met."